I would speculate that with respect to efficacy, you wouldn't. I do think that increasingly we do bad things to patients' hands and feet who have metastatic breast cancer. And for many patients where pre-existing neuropathy is a problem, one could practice some of the art of oncology. I, for example, tend to prefer using gemcitabine monotherapy for patients coming off a taxane, coming off capecitabine, who have pre-existing neuropathy. Ixabepilone would fall lower down on my list, as would vinorelbine.
Be interesting, you know, you talk about this idea of predicting responses to trials, Lisa. So if we could do a trial in patients who are anthracycline and taxane resistant and randomize between Ix, Gem, vinorelbine, what else would you want to put in that trial?
Halachondrin B analog.
Eribulin
mesylate.
What do you think we would see in terms of benefit and risk?
Oh, yeah, I suspect that when you get into the heavily pretreated population, the response rates you're going to get all are going to be somewhere in that 15%-ish range. And I think a lot of the game is played out on the toxicity level.
So how would you compare
those?
So
a lot of the choices I make are patients who have existing neuropathy from the last taxane. I'm not going to use either Ix or docetaxel, and you may choose something else. And patients who struggle with thrombocytopenia, I'm probably not going to try gemcitabine or carboplatin. I mean,
what about patients without either one of those problems?
In patients who are totally healthy, who are anthracycline, taxane, and capecitabine resistant?
No, we can put capecitabine in there too. If you were to do a trial, what would you see in terms of differences, in terms of quality of life and side effects between, again, cape, Ix, a single agent, vinorelbine, gem?
So some of those, this gets back to the question I think we all wrestle with, which is I'm not so worried about neutropenia, for example, because I can ameliorate neutropenia with mini-dose G. I'm much more concerned with patients who have asthenia. I'm much more concerned with neuropathy and things like that. So I think we almost have to think about our toxicities in two categories, those that we can do something about and those we can't. So I will often choose capecitabine simply for the reason that George stated. It's oral and it's easier on patients. Some of my patients do very well for, I've had patients for years on vinorelbine, particularly if I can combine it with trastuzumab, and because that's a combination that is active and can be given for a long time without cumulative toxicities. Those are probably the first ones that I start with.
But for those people that give the drug, of the four drugs that Neil mentioned, where would it rank in terms of your choice on a desert island? Which of those four would you pick as the... You know, I know pre-existing toxicities are important, but this sounds like a trickier drug. This sounds like a more dangerous drug.
You know, people haven't used that. They don't have a feel for it, you know, in terms of what people, other than the neuropathy and neutropenia, but in terms of quality of life, any input on that?
Well, that's where asthenia.
This is just, you know, this makes me think back over a decade when we thought also that the best way to use paclitaxel initially was as a 24-hour infusion at high doses. I don't think we've written the full story on this drug yet, and it's going to be important to see how in further development we can learn how to use this agent.
I will also say, I've been sitting across the table from George for about 25 years now, maybe 20 years, and one of the things he frequently brings up is that the way we use drugs are accidents of history. And I just gave a CME course about a week ago on metastatic disease and said, I don't think it matters what sequence you use these things in. There's nothing that says you're going to improve survival or not by using gem first or this or that and the other. And I think personally with my own patients, I sit with them and say, would you rather take a pill or would you rather get something intravenous? Would you rather get something weekly or something every 3 weeks? Do you live in the Upper Peninsula? It's hard for you to get down to see me. If you live in Ann Arbor, it's easy to get across. And then we talk about toxicities. And I think for the folks listening to this, I also say the bad news is you have metastatic breast cancer because we're probably not going to cure you. But the good news is you have metastatic breast cancer because there's so many options available to palliate you. And it probably doesn't matter how we use them as long as we use them judiciously. And the one mistake I see are oncologists who believe they make a big difference by making people ill and pile on two or three drugs at once because the randomized trial and the FDA approval is capecitabine plus ixabepilone. And that's a mistake. So if there's a take-home lesson, I think it's to use these drugs judiciously in a way that palliates them, because that's the goal. And we clearly improve survival, not by a lot, but we improve survival in the average patient. But I think you do it by judiciously improving palliation.
But when you get down to these response rates that are being mentioned here, somebody maliciously argued that you should do a randomized trial of treatment versus free theater tickets. It's really questionable whether you benefit the patients.